The book of Psalms. We are in Psalm chapter 6. And we begin our study in verse 1. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 6, verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. It is one thing to be disciplined by our loving Heavenly Father, but I don't want any part of God being angry at me. And I'm glad that as Christians, we're disciplined in love, not punished in anger. Verse 2, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. Notice David isn't angry with God. And he's not saying he doesn't deserve the pain that he is feeling. He knows he's a sinner. And yet he knows God. And so he asks for mercy. 3. My soul is also very vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? David's soul was suffering also, and that's even worse than a suffering body. A strong soul, a strong spirit, can help you rise above a hurting body, but if the soul is in bad shape, then you're looking at despair, and that's going to hurt the body too. 4. Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. He said, save me for thy mercy's sake, God. I would never ask God to give me what I deserve, because if I did, I'd be in hell. Instead, when you suffer, it is best to say, God, if you love me, if you have any mercy left, please help me. Verse 5, for in death there is no remembrance of thee. In Sheol, who shall give thee thanks? In other words, Lord, I'm no good to you if I'm dead. Our desires should be secondary to what is good for God. Verse 6, I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It groweth old because of all mine enemies. If David slept at all, it was because he cried himself to sleep. And believe me, David was no crybaby. He was tough as nails. He was brave. 8. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and very vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. Between verses 7 and 8, David got a great spiritual victory. Did you notice how his tune changed? He prayed, and he prayed, and he got the spiritual victory. He turned the corner. Today, many Christians run to their psychiatrist when they're feeling bad. I don't believe David would have run to his psychiatrist even if they would have had him back in those days. He prayed until he prayed away the despair, and he was encouraged by God. That works much better, and you know, it's free. Got to listen to you all day. Won't charge you a cent. Chapter 7, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all those who persecute me and deliver me. He says, in thee do I put my trust. In other words, I take refuge in you, God. You're my refuge. Taking refuge in God like David did, I'll show you how you do it. You say, God, I know you're good. I know you want what's best for me, and I'm going to rest in that. Whether I like how things go or not, I'm resting in the fact that you are good and you want what's best for me. That's taking refuge in God. Verse 2. Well, let's read one along with it. O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all those who persecute me and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces, while there is none to deliver. In other words, Lord, if my enemies catch me, I am done for. They will not show me any mercy. I'm going to be done for. Isn't it true? God is much more merciful than people. 3. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him who was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him who who without cause is mine enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it, yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth, and lay mine honor in the dust, Selah. It is easy to see why your life is falling apart if you're living in sin, right? I mean, you can understand that. But it is tough to understand trouble when you're minding your own business, serving the Lord. And so David says, God, if I deserve all this trouble that I'm experiencing, by all means, let it happen. David's willing to take the medicine. He's not going to whine about trouble that he deserves. Verse 6, arise, O Lord, in thine anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. In other words, Lord, please wake up. Wake up, God. This whole situation is wrong. How about putting a stop to it? Our faith is really tested when life does not seem fair. In fact, let's just be honest, when it isn't fair. And evil people are getting away with their evil at the expense of good. And good people. And our faith is tested during those times. Especially when it seems like God isn't doing anything about it. 7. So shall the congregation of the peoples compass thee about. For their sakes, therefore, return thou on high. Return on high means, Lord, sit on your throne, flex your eternal muscle, and show everyone that you're God by doing the right thing. Don't let this evil prevail, and don't let evil people take advantage of the good and hurt them. God, sit on your throne and flex your muscle. 8. The Lord shall judge the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me. David would like God to put on his robe and be the judge. David was being treated like a criminal when he didn't do anything wrong. So he is asking the eternal judge to dismiss the false charges and put an end to his trouble. 9. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God testeth the minds and hearts. God examines the minds and the hearts. In other words, God examines what people say and do. And he also examines why they do it. Do you know that your thoughts are as much before God as your actions are before him? He sees them all very clearly. Verse 10, my defense is with God, who saveth the upright in heart. God saves people who are upright in heart. God saves people who have holy desires. Maybe they're not always upright in what they do, but they're upright in heart. We all sin, but a real Christian has holy desires. In other words, they are upright in heart. If not in action all the time, then in heart. 11. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. God never gets angry at anything except sin. You realize that? Thing is, since sin happens all the time, he's living with anger. For all eternity past, God had never been angry. Just think about that. From endless ages in the past, he had never been angry, not even one single time. But when sin entered his creation, he experienced anger. And I know that sin hurts us, but we ought to think about what it has done to God. 12. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. God is gracious. He gives people time to repent, but he draws a line in the sand also, and he says, that's it, no more time. God's grace is deep enough to forgive any amount of sins, but God's grace is finite. He will only be patient for so long. 14. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity, and hath conceived mischief, and brought forth falsehood. Wicked people conceive sin. They conceive trouble, that is, they plan it. They conceive it. They plan trouble. Man, it's one thing to fall into sin, but it is much worse to continually plan sin. There is a difference between willful sins and sins of ignorance. 15. He made a pit and digged it, and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come upon his own pate, his own crown. And what we're seeing here is the law of sowing and reaping. That is a real law. We reap what we sow. Before anyone does anything to hurt anyone else, they need to ask themselves, would I like someone to do to me what I'm about to do to someone else? Because if the answer is no, well, then they better not do it. Because somehow, some way, they will experience the same sort of thing, the law of sowing and reaping. 17. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. David says, I am thanking God because he does things the right way. Isn't it amazing how David's psalm here evolved? And his prayers, which of course make up the psalms, they do evolve. So often, David begins his prayers in the book of Psalms with despair. But by the time he's done, he's rejoicing in God. And that's what we see right here. Chapter 8, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. In other words, Lord, everyone knows how great you are just by looking at all you have created. And as glorious as God's creation is, his supreme glory is far above the furthest galaxy. Verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. A college-educated skeptic can talk for hours about God and never say anything. Then listen to a little child use simple words to talk about the God that he knows is real. You will hear wisdom that goes far beyond anything Dr. Doubt can come up with. Verse 3. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. This is so great. The multiplied billions of galaxies filled with trillions of stars each were all created at one time on day 4. All in one split second with the spoken word of God. All of those multiplied billions of galaxies. Day 4, let it happen, it was there. And the amazing thing is, they were just the finger work of God. In other words, they were just simple stuff. Oh, simple. I think it's great to explore outer space. It's great to explore outer space. I've always been interested in the space program. It's a waste of time to do it in order to find the origin of the universe. You're not going to find it through science. You're not going to find the origin of the universe through science. The origin of the universe is a theological question, not a scientific question. And God has already told us how he did it. Verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? In other words, God, how can you notice us? How can you take the time to notice us? We're so small compared to the size of the universe and the size of some of those heavenly objects. And it's like noticing a little grain of sand while you're standing next to the Grand Canyon. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense until you understand that we have been made in the image and likeness of God. Then maybe it makes some sense. Verse 5. Let's actually read verse 4 first. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. Angels actually could be translated God. We are not gods, never have been, never will be. No matter how many New Agers believe it. And some people say, yes, sin has made us lower than God, so we must work our way back up. No, God has made us lower than God. Sin has not made us lower than God. God has made us lower than God. You can chant and you can contemplate nothing for 1,000 years, and you're still going to be lower than God. Verse 6, thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thine hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. God gave man a very exalted position within his creation. God made him the ruler of this planet and everything on it. When he created Adam, gave Adam charge of everything. That's an exalted position. That's a great honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field. Verse 8, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. Everything on earth was designed to submit to the authority of man before man sinned. After man sinned, nature rebelled. Just like man rebelled against his creator, his authority, well, when that happened, then the things that man had rebellion over, all of nature, the animals, the plants, the weather, the atmosphere, that all rebelled against him. You can't command the weather. Yeah. If Adam had not sinned, perhaps the weatherman would be saying, how many of you want it to be sunny tomorrow? Okay, it's going to be sunny tomorrow. Because man had dominion over the whole earth. Now it's, hey, no, we don't call a shot. Nature calls the shots. After man sinned, nature rebelled against man's authority. That's why a cowboy must bust a bronco before he can use it as his horse. Verse 9, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And so he finishes the way he started, by thinking about, by being blessed by the greatness of Almighty God. Psalm 9. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. If you want to lift your spirit, just start listing all the wonderful things that God has made and done, and praise him for all of those things. That'll keep you busy for a while. It will also lift your spirit. It is impossible to stay depressed when you persevere in praising God for all that he is and all that he has done. You can't possibly be depressed when you praise God. 2, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Notice the connection between holy songs and being glad. See, that's another way to lift your spirit. Sing a hymn or a praise chorus to God. Holy music is the equivalent of a spiritual barbell. It strengthens our spirits. Verse 3. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. You know, it is very important to follow David's example here. He gave God all the credit for his success. That's important. It is the presence of God that is responsible for any victories that we may have in any area of our life, just like with David. It is the presence of God that makes the difference. It is not in ourselves. It is no strength of our own. It is the presence of God. 4, for thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou didst sit on the throne judging right. Two things are a sure bet. Your righteous behavior will be opposed by bad people, and your righteous stand will be defended by God. In the end, you will be glad that you stood for truth and righteousness. Verse 5. Excuse me. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. God always rebukes before he destroys. Notice, thou hast rebuked the heathen, thou hast destroyed the wicked. God always rebukes before he destroys. If the wicked will not accept his correction, then God has no choice but to destroy them. 6. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memory is perished with them. The greatest enemy ever is death. But after death, after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, its ability to destroy was itself destroyed forever. The greatest enemy ever is death. But the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ destroys death's ability to destroy. Now death is a step up for Christians. And in the end, after we are raised, death won't even be an issue anymore. It's going to be long forgotten someday. Verse 7. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. God has always existed. He always will exist. And he will always be in charge too. His enduring dominion is good news for us who put our trust in him, and bad news for those who oppose him, because it means they're never going to succeed, because God's never going to grow weak, and he's never going to abdicate his throne. He'll always be calling the shots. Excuse me. Verse 8, And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the peoples in uprightness. Favoritism will not be an issue on Judgment Day. No plea bargain will be accepted on Judgment Day. Tears will not help. Prayers will not help. Excuses will not help. And it will be too late for repentance come Judgment Day. Verse 9, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. God is a great place for safety in hard times. A refuge, of course, doesn't make the threat go away, but it keeps the threat from destroying you. If there's a tornado in your area, you go into the tornado shelter or your basement or whatever, that doesn't make the tornado disappear, but it does keep the tornado from hurting you. A refuge doesn't make the threat go away, but it keeps the threat from destroying you. And God may not cause your problems to disappear, but he will protect you through them and get you through them. Verse 10. And they who know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken those who seek thee. The more you know God, the easier it will be for you to trust him. The more you know God, the easier it is for you to trust him. People do not lack peace because they have trouble. People think that they lack peace because they have trouble in their life. No. They lack peace because they're not as close to God as they should be. Because you can have peace in the midst of trouble. 11. Sing praises to the Lord who dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the peoples his doings. In other words, tell God's stories to people. Tell God's stories to people. That sort of thing is going to please God very much. When you talk about God to other people, spread the news about God. Tell people God's stories. I want to tell you what God did for me here. I want to tell you how God answered this prayer. I want to tell you what God did in the Bible. Tell God's stories. That makes God happy. 12. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. In other words, God keeps track of every bit of grief you experience, and he will track down those who are responsible for it, and they will pay. If they don't repent and receive forgiveness, they're going to pay. But we should pray that they repent and pray that they be forgiven, even as we, if we know Christ, have repented and have also been forgiven. Next time, verse 19. Until then, so long, everyone.